This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
We're taking our Bibles. We're going to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, verse 22 says this. And Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. From the Red Sea. Pastor, where is the Red Sea? It's the Red Sea's down at the southern part. The Red Sea's down by Jordan, as a matter of fact. Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur and went 3 days in the wilderness, and look, and they found no water. But when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the water of Marah, for they were bitter. They were contaminated, bitter water. Therefore, the name of it he called Marah, which simply means bitter. Let us pray. God, as we bow our heads and our hearts in your presence, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us and through us. I pray that you would give your word a free course to travel. I just like Charles Spurgeon, believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, Jesus, would you have your will and your way? And for all you do, we're going to praise you. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Till you come, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about plain hurt. Plain hurt. I did some research and I found out something very interesting. The average length of a career of an NFL player, that's the apex. The average length of a career of an NFL player is 3.3 years. 3.3 years. There's actually 2,600 players, as I speak today, in the NFL. But here's what's amazing in the National Football League. 600 of those will get hurt this year. 2,600. 600 of them will get hurt. Here's an interesting, this is not the message, but I thought it was interesting. 2 years after retirement, 78% of NFL players are bankrupt. 2 years after retirement. So many times we think of this as the apex. This is the elite. This is what I want to desire for. Well, now why, Pastor, would the average career be 3.3 years? I'll tell you why. Simply because they get hurt. They get hurt. Lou Gehrig was a great baseball player for the New York Yankees. He played 15 years for the New York Yankees. And what was so interesting, he played 2,130 games without missing a game. 2,130 games. This great player, Lou Gehrig, who the disease is named after, Lou Gehrig. But after he retired, they x-rayed his hands and they noticed something. Every finger on Lou Gehrig's hands had been broken 2 to 3 times. 2 to 3 times. But you said, Pastor, he played 2,130 games without missing a game. What does that tell us? I'll tell you what that tells us, ladies and gentlemen. He played hurt. He played hurt. The great ones, if you study their lives, they played some games, but many times they played when they were hurt. Many times they put the pads on and they played even though they were hurt. One of the greatest ever to play the game was a man by the name of Ronnie Lott. Ronnie Lott played defensive back for the San Francisco 49ers. He won 4 Super Bowls. 10 times he went to the Pro Bowl. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame. But Ronnie Lott had an injury on his small finger. He crushed that small little finger. And the doctor said, Ronnie, It's a complex surgery. It's a complex surgery on that small finger. But we can do it. But he said, Ronnie, you've got to understand something. When we do it, you're going to miss the playoffs. And missing the playoffs also may mean you miss the Super Bowl. And Ronnie Lott said, what options do I have? And the doctor said, well, Ronnie, we can always amputate the finger. And he said, well, if you amputate the finger, will I still be able to play? And the doc said, yes, you will, Ronnie. And so Ronnie said, amputate the finger because I just can't miss work. Now, that's the ultimate, ladies and gentlemen, playing hurt. But I began to process this. I began to think about it for a little while. The great ones play hurt. And this is what I know about us as Christians. Do you know sometimes we got to play hurt too?
That's right.
Sometimes we got to play hurt too. Because Job 14 and 1 says this, man that is born of woman, that would be you. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Amen? So that tells me that we're going to have to play hurt. Matthew 5 and 45 tells me this, that God sends the rain on the unjust people, but it also tells me that God sends the rain on the just people. That tells me we're going to have to play hurt. Psalms 30 and 5 says this, weeping may endure for a night. That tells me we're going to have some nights that we're going to weep. But joy's going to come in the morning. See, in life, there's going to be some physical hurt. There's going to be some emotional hurt. There's going to be some relational hurt. There's going to be some spiritual hurt. There's going to be some financial hurt. This is what I've learned, ladies and gentlemen. We got to learn to play hurt. We got to learn to play hurt. Just like that football player has to learn to play hurt. We've got to learn to play hurt. We've got to learn to function even though that we are hurting, because hurt is a part of life. I love what the great theologian Louis Grizzard said. Louis Grizzard said, the game of life is a lot like football. You have to tackle your problems, block your fears, and score points when you get opportunity. I want us to look at our scripture today, and there are three primary principles that we learn from the text today in Exodus chapter 15, but they're so important. Principle number one is this. The greatest successes in life are often followed by failure. The greatest successes in life are often followed by failure. Let me explain. In Exodus, the beginning of chapter 15, they had just crossed the Red Sea. I mean, the Bible says this, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible says that God walled up both sides of the Red Sea, and they walked across on dry land. And you know what happened after that? Moses had a sister, and she was a female worship leader. And when they walked across on dry land, she got the timbrels out, and she started beating the timbrels. She started singing, and the people started singing. Let me tell you, this is the place in the Bible where singing is mentioned the very first time. The very first time singing is mentioned in the Bible was when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. And get this, they started beating those timbrels. They started singing. They started lifting their hands. They started rejoicing. But wait, the Bible says this, they started dancing. They started dancing. You say, what do you think, Pastor Benny? Well, it's in the Bible. They started dancing. But here's what's amazing, folks. Verse 22 says this. And Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness. This is what I've learned. Many times, ladies and gentlemen, many times, the greatest successes in our lives are followed by wilderness experience. Many times, the greatest successes of your life will be followed by a wilderness experience. The Bible says, look, everything was going good. They were singing, they were dancing, they were rejoicing, but they had a wilderness experience. And they got to a place where they needed water, but the water was bitter and the water was contaminated. What happened, Pastor? I'll tell you what happened. The greatest successes in life are often followed by failure. It's woven throughout the Scripture. You remember Elijah? Elijah was that preacher who looked to 450 false prophets of Baal. And he said, let's put our gods to the test. If God be God, you follow him. But if Baal be God, you follow him. And he said, let's just call on our God. You call on Baal first and ask him to send fire on the sacrifice. And this is what the Bible says. The Bible says they prayed to Baal. And friend, nothing happened. And nothing happened. And you remember what Elijah said? Elijah said, your God must be at Panama City. Literally, he said, peradventure, your God's on a trip. Or he said this, I believe your God may be asleep. And then he said, hey, read the Bible. I'm just preaching the Bible. He said, your God may be using the restroom. And then he called on Yahweh. He called on Yahweh, ladies and gentlemen, and the fire came. Now look, here's been my approach for years. I've stood up and said, I never went to anything but a public school all my life. And I've stood up for years and said, we need prayer back in our schools. We need prayer back in our schools. I say, we need prayer back in our schools. And most of the time when I make that statement, some public educator will say to me, but you don't understand, Pastor. If we put prayer back in the school, we got to let the Buddhists pray. We got to let the Muslims bring their prayer rugs in and pray. My response is always the same. Let them bring them in. Let the Muslims pray. Let the Buddhists pray. Because when they pray, nothing's going to happen anyway. But when the children of God pray, things happen. And the fire came. But wait. He defeated 450 prophets of Baal, but a few days later, one woman named Jezebel. Hey guys, I'll just be careful. He could handle 450 prophets of Baal, but he could not handle one woman. Amen? One woman to get you in trouble. Amen? One woman can get you in severe trouble. Don't dare try two. One will get you in enough trouble. Amen? Amen. Guy gets 40 and says, I'm going to start dating 20-year-olds. Well, he's not wired for a 220. Amen? I mean, he's just not. But one woman got him under a juniper tree and he said, Lord, I don't want to live. I want to die. Get this, folks. The greatest successes in life are often followed by failure. You study the Scripture, it's so true, even in the life of Jesus. Jesus gets baptized in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. God from heaven looks down and says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Wow, what an experience when an omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God spoke from heaven and said to his Son, I'm so pleased with you. He only did that twice in the Bible, at the baptism and at the transfiguration. Wow, but look. That happened in Matthew 3:17. Look what happened in Matthew 4:1. Then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. What I've learned is many times after success comes a wilderness experience. Many times after success comes a wilderness experience. Now get this. Exodus chapter 14. Children of Israel come to the Red Sea. And in Exodus chapter 14, God parts that jammy. God parts that jammy. They walk across on dry land. You know what God said? I prove myself to you. I prove that I am God. I am Yahweh. I'm enough. That happened in Exodus 14. But look, we get to Exodus 15. Look what the Bible says. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and ordinance. Wait. And there he proved them. Wait. In Exodus 14, he said, I prove myself. But in Exodus 15, I want you to prove yourself to me. What was he saying? Here's what he was saying, ladies and gentlemen. Whether the waters are parted or whether you get to the waters and they're bitter, I want to know, are you willing to live for me? Whether God touches the person and they live or the person dies, I want to know, are you going to live for me? Whether God sends him back or God does not send him back, I want to know, are you going to live for me? Whether the report is cancerous or the report is not cancerous, I want to know, are you going to live for me? Whether you get the job or whether you don't get the job, whether you win the race or whether you lose the race, God is saying, I prove myself to you. I just want you to prove yourself to me and make a commitment that no matter what comes or no matter what goes, God, I'm going to live for you. Here's what I know. The greatest successes in life are often followed by failure. I'll tell you something else. The greatest services in life are often followed by forgetfulness. The greatest services in life are often followed by forgetfulness. Look what verse 24 says. And the people murmured against Moses. Now I want you to get this, folks. We doubt what God can do because we forget what God has done. We doubt what God can do because we forget what God has done. Now wait, he had just parted the Red Sea. He had just parted this massive body of water. And now they get to a water in Marah and it's bitter. He just parted the Red Sea. But now they're complaining because the water is bitter. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, we doubt what God can do because we forget what God has done. Now the Bible says they murmured against Moses. Wait. He was the one who went to Pharaoh and stuck his finger in Pharaoh's face and put his neck on the line and said, you let my people go. He's the one who led them across the Red Sea. But now they're speaking against him. The greatest services, ladies and gentlemen, many times will be followed by forgetfulness. I say to a pastor watching me, I'll tell you what breaks your heart. What breaks your heart is when you love people and you care for people and you visit people and you minister to people and you're there for people, and the least little thing, I'm gone. The least little thing, because the greatest services in life are often followed by forgetfulness. You say, well, Neville, Pastor, you don't understand my, people are just wild about me. Oh, are they? I'm 57 years old. Let me tell you what I've learned about life. You can be a peacock one day. That's right. Boy, it's pretty. That's beautiful. You can be a peacock one day and a feather duster the next. You see, oh, they idolize me. Oh, no. No, they do right now. But they may just idolize you, but the very same people may criticize you and a little later scandalize you. Amen? Here's what I want to say to you. Whatever you do, You do it for God. The older I get, I am more concerned about what God's going to say to me than what people are saying about me. The older I get, I'm more concerned about what God's going to say to me than what people are going to say about me. And we better live for the applause of the nail-scarred hands and nothing more. Amen? Nothing more. You said, oh, wait, Pastor. I've encountered bitter water. I've had a bitter experience. I've been hurt deeply. What would you say to me? Pastor Benny, I've had a bitter experience. I've been hurt deeply. What advice would you give me? Well, let me give you some things. Number one, don't curse it. Don't curse it. What are you talking about? I'm talking about Romans 12:14. Bless them which persecute. Bless and curse not. Get this, folks. You don't gain ground by throwing mud. It don't hurt you for people to hate you until you start hating them back. It doesn't. See, what's the scripture? Here's the scripture. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Why does it say if it be possible? Because there's some people it's not possible to live peaceably with. There's some people giving aspirin a headache, amen? There's some people complain if you hung them with a new rope. That's why I said, look, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. But verse 19 says this, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord. Amen. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Because see, if you're not awful careful, you'll let bitterness overcome you. Here's what I say to you. Don't you curse it. Number two, don't rehearse it. You say, what do you mean, Pastor Benny? Well, Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What you think about is what you become. I said that one time. I said, what you think about is what you become. And a little boy after the service said, can I talk with you, Pastor Benny? I said, sure. He said, I disagree with your sermon. I thought I ought to just slap you in Jesus' name. Amen. I said, what do you mean you disagree? He said, well, you said what you think about is what you become. He said, if I became what I thought about, I'd be a girl. Because he said, I think about girls all the time. But as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. When I say, friend, don't rehearse it, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:5 to take every thought captive. And what we got to ask ourselves, is this thought coming from God? And if it's a thought of anger, if it's a thought of fear, if it's a thought of revenge, if it's a thought of bitterness, it's not coming from God. Get this. Don't curse it. Don't reverse it. Here's the third thing I'd say. Don't nurse it. Don't nurse it. You say, well, Pastor, I've been hurt. Well, sometimes when we get hurt, we need to see somebody. Sometimes we need a friend. You say, Pastor, I don't even have a friend. Well, sometimes you have to rent a friend. Amen? And sometimes you need to see a counselor. And sometimes you need a person to talk to. But get this. Quit talking to the guy that works at the convenience store. Quit talking to the waitress at the restaurant. You're talking to everybody about your situation. And what you're doing, you're just making it worse. You're just nursing it. All I'm trying to say to you is don't curse it. Don't rehearse it. Don't nurse it. Do you realize, folks, there are 50 different diseases that are caused by bitterness. 50 different diseases. Your back was never built to carry grudges. Now get this. Don't curse it. Don't reverse it. Rehearse it. Don't nurse it. Let me tell you what you do. Do disperse it. You say, what do you mean? Well, do what Moses did in verse 25 and give it to God. Look what Moses did. And Moses cried unto the Lord, look, and the Lord showed him a tree. Get this. He cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he put the tree in the water, and the water became sweet. You said, Pastor Benny, what's the message? Oh, folks, you're hurt. You've got to take to the cross. You're hurt. You've got to take to the tree. You're hurt. You've got to take to the cross. Charles Spurgeon said, go to the cross and learn how you have been forgiven, and then stay there a while to learn how to forgive. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this. Don't nurse it. Don't curse it. Don't rehearse it. But I'll tell you what, do. Disperse it and give it to God. And number two, let God reverse it. Let God reverse it. Because Genesis 50 verse 20 says this, God can take what is meant to be bad, and he can turn around and he can use it for good. I want to tell you a story, and then I'm going to tell you a scripture, and I'll move to the last point. There was somebody in my life that every step of the way fought me. Every step of the way. Every step. And one day, Barbara and I were talking, and their name came up. And I said, I've worked through that. I've totally forgiven them. And she said, if you've worked through it and totally forgiven them, why does your countenance change every time their name's mentioned? I just wanted to slap her in Jesus' name. Because I hadn't worked through it. And in my heart of hearts, I knew I had feelings. And I knew God couldn't bless me like he really wanted. And by the way, folks, look here. I didn't say this in the early service, but I'm telling you, the greatest blessings in your life, this group over here, this group here, this group here, that group in the foyer, this group over here, the greatest blessings of your life are tied to forgiveness. Whether that be God, whether that be yourself, whether that be others, the greatest blessings of your life, ladies and gentlemen, will be tied to forgiveness. It may be your parents that you got to forgive, but the greatest blessings of your life will be tied to you forgiving others. But I want you to understand something. Proverbs 24 tells us this. Rejoice not when thy enemy falleth, and let not thy heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it and it displease him, and he turns away his wrath from him. Paraphrase that, Pastor, I'll be glad to. If somebody does you wrong, God said, if you'll take your hands off of it, I'll deal with it. God said, if somebody does you wrong, if you'll take your hands off of it, vengeance is mine, I'll deal with it. But look, get this. You stick with me. But God also said, listen closely. If you put your hands on it and you try to take vengeance, I'm backing off. I'm done. Vengeance is mine, God said, I'll take care of it. But I'm not going to take care of it if you want to take care of it. Now get the last point. If you get finished before I do, just slip out. Get this. The greatest struggles are often followed by fullness. The greatest struggles are often followed by fullness. You say, Pastor Benny, I need some motivation. I want to give you some. Don Broomfield was a jockey. And he was riding in the Kentucky Derby. And he was behind two or three horses behind. And man, that horse, he reached down and he whispered in that horse's ear, and that horse took off, and Don Broomfield won the Kentucky Derby. That horse got motivated. And they asked Don Broomfield, "What did you whisper in that horse's ear?" He said, "This is what I said. Roses are red. Violets are blue. Horses that lose are turned into glue." Now, what is your motivation? Here's your motivation. The greatest struggles are often followed by fullness. A young girl in our church, at this age, they're all young girls. Her husband decided he didn't want to be with her anymore. He left. She begged him to stay. He left. One day I saw her. I went up and put my arm around her. And I said, "I want to tell you something. You've done the right thing." And 1 Samuel 2:30 says this: if you'll honor God, He'll honor you. If you'll honor God, He'll honor you. And I saw her not long ago when she said, "Pastor Benny, I'm happier than I've ever been. I'm happier than I've ever been." Because you understand the greatest struggles in life are often followed by fullness. You say, "Pastor, what are you talking about?" Well, let's look at verse 26 and verse 27. "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear unto His commandments, and keep all the statutes, I'll put none of these diseases upon thee which have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth." Wait, the word there, healeth, is the Hebrew word Rapha. The place that Jehovah Rapha is mentioned is right here. He's Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, because of right here. And ladies and gentlemen, it was bitter waters that He made sweet. And I'm so glad that He can make the bitter waters in your life sweet if we'll keep our eyes and our focus upon Him, because the greatest struggles in life are often followed by fullness. And weeping may endure for a night, but joy is going to come in the morning. Joy is going to come in the morning. The next verse says, "And they came to Elim." Now wait, Mara? How far is Mara from Elim? 5 miles. Contaminated water, but 5 miles down the road. They get 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. Contaminated water, but 5 miles down the road is Palm Springs. Amen? Oh, don't you throw in the towel. I know the water's bitter. I know it's a tough time right now, but 5 miles down the road's Palm Springs. 5 miles down the road's Palm Springs. People give up too quickly. People throw in the towel too quickly. People quit trying too quickly. Oh, folks, you just got to stay in the fight. You got to believe that the greatest struggles in life are often followed by fullness. You just got to stick in there. 33 years as a pastor of one church. Do you know how many times I've wanted to throw in the towel? But I'm so glad I didn't. I'm so glad I didn't. I'm so glad I didn't. Stay in the fight. Bob and Pam were missionaries in the Philippines. True story. Pam drank some contaminated water in the Philippines and got very sick. Pam went into a coma. And when she was in the coma, the Philippine doctors gave her strong antibiotics. Strong antibiotics. And after they gave her the antibiotics, they said they realized she was pregnant. And they said, "We've got to abort the baby." And she said, "No, you can't abort my baby. I'm going through a struggle, but I believe in fullness is coming. I'm going through a struggle, but I'm believing fullness is coming." And she said, "Four times I almost lost that baby. Four times they told me, 'You're losing the baby.' Four times I almost lost it. But I got down on my knees and said, 'God, I believe this baby that's inside of me is going to be a preacher.'" And she said, I'm gonna have him, and I'm gonna name him Timothy." And she had him. And Tim Tebow became one more preacher. Amen. The greatest struggles in life are often followed by fullness if you'll just hold on.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.